Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, welcome back. One of the most viewed reels on Instagram so far this year in the world, it isn't from a big brand or a well-known celebrity until now, it's a 90-second video of a smiling Tyrone magician, Lee Hutchinson, helping a homeless man in India. It really is quite extraordinary. It was posted around the middle of June. It's already notched up 227 million views and counting. And I'm joined on the line from Bali by Tyrone magician Lee Hutchinson. Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, what a beautiful intro. Thank you.
Well, you're in a beautiful part of the world. You're in Bali right now. Is it stunning and gorgeous? Is it a paradise?
I don't want to make you too jealous, but it is absolutely all of those things.
But so. Rub it in. That's the whole point. That's what Irish people go abroad. You're born and bred Tyrone. Proud Tyrone man.
Proud Tyrone man. Yes, born and raised in the beautiful land of Tyrone. Cookstown, if you know Cookstown.
Cookstown, yes. And growing up, how did you discover magic? Why did that come into your life?
So that's a great question. I always had this intuitive feeling that I loved to connect with people. Unfortunately, I wasn't the most talented of children. I couldn't sing, nor could I dance. And magic ended up being my muse. I loved the ability that it would give me, where I could connect to really anyone, old, young, any kind of language. It was this visual connecting kind of art form that was very beautiful, and I could leave an impact with people. So I discovered magic whenever I was 17. My dad was watching David Blaine, and I used to love watching. I used to puzzle my mind at how it could work. I typed in YouTube. I learned how to learn magic tricks, and that just sent me down a rabbit hole that I still am deep inside, and I hope I never find my way back out of it.
I think magic is sometimes, you know, we refer to tricks in it, but it's more than that. It's the magician is looking for the wonder in the person, aren't they? Is that what you're seeking when you perform?
Yes, there's trickery, there's sleight of hand, there's all of these things that we do in order to convey this feeling. But magic in its essence is it's a feeling. All of a sudden, I make you feel like a child. The world that you live in, which sometimes can be dark and you can be stuck in your mind, all of a sudden I can shine a light. I can spread this very short but very impactful moment of wonder, of joy, of curiosity. I break your perception on how you think things work. And sometimes it opens the comfort zone. It opens the edge of how people perceive things. And it makes them see things in a different light.
Positive deception. It's like a joyful deception. Now, you were hard on yourself when you said you'd no talents as a child. You obviously had this. You had this for sure. And when you left school, you went into a very creative area. First of all, was it tattooing? Is that what you did, first of all?
Yes. So I got a tattoo, and I walked out of that tattoo with a job in the tattoo studio. And I'd done that for a year. And then eventually I went full time with the magic. Traveled up and down Ireland many times, doing weddings and birthday parties and pubs and nightclubs and you name it, I would do it. If I could get some quid, if I could get any money, I would do it.
That was the job.
And hustle and perform, get
my name
out there.
And charming people's socks off, let's face it, Lee. That's what it sounds like you're very good at.
I was getting paid to make people smile. I couldn't have asked for a better job. My dad owns a local family business that he was he really wanted me to continue working in and to help. So I was doing a lot of part-time work also there at the time. And it was always part of our family is that you'd work in dad's business. And there was always an element of, will I step in and sort of take the mantle and take the light? So I had to prove it to them. I had to prove it to myself, but I had to prove it to them that I can make this dream come true.
What is the family business?
It's a butcher shop. So we own a couple of butcher shops in Cookstown.
It's a highly skilled,
it's exhausting labor and it's very taxing on the body. You're in a cold environment, and it's not my space.
But
not
you found love. You found your way. And by the way, a big shout out to the butchers, because they're really important people, and it's good to see that we have those craft butchers and local butchers all around the country.
Yes, and support the local butchers because they need it, and that's where you're going to get the most nutritious, delicious meat and quality of meat you can in the country. So yes, absolutely.
you can even charm us through butchery. That's how good you are. But come here, you found the path in magic, and you actually got a job, did you? You're still a teenager, about 19 years of age, and you met and somehow connected with the very, very top magician in the world, Julius Dane. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Julius Dane. And that happened in a complete fluke. I couldn't believe my luck. I seen that he had done an Instagram post where he was looking for a magic consultant and a videographer. Sent him a message and said to him, I can do both. Now, I couldn't do both. In fact, I could do really none of them. I was a magician, yes. Didn't own a camera, couldn't work a camera. And I applied for the job. A miracle that he, out of all the messages that he receives, he read my message. He loved it. He offered to fly me out the very next day. So I drove down to Dublin Airport, and I flew all the way to Romania. Very quickly, I had to wing it, learn on the spot. I remember watching a YouTube tutorial video on how to work a camera on the way over. Very nervous. So my role was to prepare the magic, come up with magic, creative magic tricks in order for him to perform to different celebrities, manage the magic. So basically just organize it and keep it safe and protect it and build anything that needs built. And then, of course, film and edit the video. So I would shoot him performing to celebrities. And on that very first day, I met Kygo, I met Jason Derulo, and I met Post Malone, all within the space of about 60 minutes. And when I say meet them, I'm talking to them. I'm sitting with them backstage. We're preparing magic tricks. So I went from quite literally zero to 100 overnight. That momentum never stopped, and I kept learning. I kept evolving.
I have to ask, Lee, what did you have? What did you put in your CV when you submitted? Because obviously there was something that struck Julius to convince him to bring this Irishman over across the continent.
I just said I could walk the walk. I just said I was the guy. If I can remember, you know, it was very somewhat obnoxious and quite egocentric, but I portrayed that I was this hotshot in Ireland that had this amazing creative brain, and that I could do this. And cameras, I know a camera like the back of my hand, been doing it for years. It was really quite hilarious. So me and Julius ended up becoming best friends, which is why the relationship was so good.
You told him afterwards, I presume, you knew nothing.
It became very evident that he could see that I was learning on the spot, but he was more impressed that I was able to learn on the spot.
Really?
And he seen that there was opportunity with me. He seen that there was something here with this guy. So he believed in me. But it was a running joke that, the CV was a complete farce. And that basically he just hired a magician and a tattoo artist to manage his media.
And it worked out. It absolutely worked out.
It worked out. It's a real testament. When you think you can't do something, you probably can. You just need to believe in yourself.
You need to push yourself. And so fast forward from that, and you're kind of the magician's apprentice there, but you're now the central performer. And for the last couple of months, people will know about Asia's Richest Man, the incredible, grandiose Indian wedding celebration that's been going on and on for months and months. You've performed at that.
Yes. So I got a really good opportunity to perform at that. Through working with Julius with all these years, I built up a lot of connections, and that was just a fluke. Julius got hired. I got hired. We both went out, and we both were walking around performing. So Rihanna was there. Bill Gates was there. Mark Zuckerberg was there. The CEO of Adobe was there. There was just CEOs everywhere, to the point that I couldn't keep track. That was a transforming experience in itself. Very beautiful. It kind of felt like I was in the Illuminati meeting, that some people would say, or where these global elites get together and plan on, you know, how the world orders are going to be conducted.
It really felt
That's
like
what
that.
It felt like.
But you're sitting next to Bill Gates. You're hanging out with all these people you're mentioning.
Basically, yeah. I mean, I could have taken out Bill Gates. I could have very quickly armbarred Bill Gates and taken
Why
out
Bill
Microsoft.
Gates, of all the people?
Of all the people, he would have been the easiest.
He was just close by at the time.
Incredible experience. But it also showed me, that was my first time in India.
Yeah.
And this is what sort of sparked this idea of what I'm doing now. While I was there, I seen the polarity of the black and white, of the poor and the rich. And these people, I think they spent 240 million just on that 3-day event. And I couldn't help but think, but this country, 65% of this population doesn't even have access to clean running water. And it's heartbreaking. And you see that everywhere. There's homeless people, homeless kids. And it's heartbreaking. It's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So I felt there was a pulse inside that said, you need to do something. I can't change the world. And I'm not saying I can change the world, but maybe I can help inspire the world. I remember booking my flight to come back to India 5 days after that event. I linked up with my friend who lives out there. He's a videographer and a producer. So he helped me with the production and logistics. I put some of my own money into it. And we just went out in the street, and we were looking for a return trip
to India, and inspired by that, it was such a visceral example of the enormous inequality in India, wasn't it? Just this over the top wedding versus the poverty on the streets. And that brings us to where I started, that video, the 90-second video we see. Can you describe what people see when they watch that video?
I think people see love, they see care, they see intimacy, they see that we also have this detachment from people in need, or especially from the homeless, is that you look at them as if they're like a different race, they're not human. And so what I do is we walk around the streets, and you'll find homeless people just sitting everywhere, lying in plastic. They could be lying on the side of the street, and they're covered in dirt, head to toe. They haven't taken showers for months. And what I do is I approach them, and I'll sit them down, I'll give them a haircut, I'll then take off their clothes, I'll pour some water, I'll get a bar of soap and I'll start washing their body. And then we'll wash them again. We'll wash the soap off and they're now nice and clean. And I'll shave their beard. And then I'll give them clean clothes and then I'll take them to a restaurant, or if they need medical care, I'll take them to the hospital. But I give them my time and I give them my presence. That's what people want. They want connection. People, when they watch these videos, is to understand that it's so easy to spread love and to spread kindness. It comes from just this most simplest gesture. It doesn't have to be anything grand, just a simple haircut, cleaning him, giving him some food and some clothes, something so simple. Yeah, we take it for granted in our world.
You sit down and share a meal together. Do you have a translator with you? Do you describe to these people that you randomly select what's going to happen or what you're doing?
Yeah, so my friend who's helping produce it, he's the guy filming. He's Indian, so he can speak the language. He'll be translating as we go along and he'll be saying what's going to happen next. And every time, we always do an interview with them after, that he would do for his channel, which is in Indian. And some of their responses is just so beautiful. They feel like, and not to say that I am this in any capacity, but they feel like an angel was sent to them, and that it was just such a beautiful experience because they get no attention. They get no care. Yeah. They are, people just walk past them like they're part of the surroundings, like they're part of the landscape. You know, they're equal to the brick that they lie on. They're no longer human. And for the first time in a long time, they feel human again. They feel connected.
And because it's obviously, it goes on Instagram and it goes out to the world to have a look at, some people are not terribly impressed by the idea of this angel arriving to help someone momentarily when they have deeper problems.
No, they're not. And that's unfortunately the world with Instagram. Unfortunately, the world of social media is an incredibly toxic place. It's okay for a girl to show her bits off on the internet and to go viral. But the moment that somebody tries to do a simple act of kindness, they can judge that and they can say that it's not changing the world. So why even try to do any kindness in the first place? So it's an incredibly toxic place. I try to detach myself from it as much as possible. But the truth is 99% of the comments are people getting inspired, sharing love. There's a trend happening right now where I'm getting tagged in videos of little teenagers in India going around doing this exact process where they're finding people, they're shaving people, they're cleaning people. And even to have started that, there's maybe been about 30 videos so far that I've got tagged in where people are saying thank, like they're copying what I'm doing. So it's sort of starting this little movement. And just to think that the byproduct of posting this on the internet has been 30 people gone out of their way to go and help 30 more people who needed help that day. I mean, that to me just fills my cup up so much. And people can slander it all they want, and you're always going to get people that aren't happy with it.
You sound annoyed by those people, even though they are the minority. And I've gone through quite a lot of the comments. It's overwhelmingly positive because it's random acts of kindness. But you sound a little bit, you're irked by the people who are out to irk you.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. I'm quite an emotional guy, I would say.
Yeah.
I feel things quite deeply, and it's just hard not to get a little bit upset by it, you know, because I am doing this from the bottom of my heart. The goal, again, is that I'm not trying to say I can save the world. I just want to, social media is the place where we should spread kindness, right? You know, it's a world where
you're dead right. It's
spread kindness and love.
It's a very negative place.
It's a very negative place. And if our kids are going to be consuming this, let them consume something good. Let them, you know, share the light.
There were a couple of videos. You've done the same thing. How many times have you done this?
I've done about 45 people so far. Right. So I'm having to just hold back on how many videos that I can post.
Have you done it without?
It takes a lot of time.
Do you need to post the video? Would you consider some of them without the
No, video? I do. I do, because the videos will give me leverage. And with that leverage, I can get sponsorships. And with the sponsorships, I can fund more trips. And I can give back to more people and I can get a bigger budget. So I've done 3 trips so far. First trip I funded myself. Second trip I was able to get it sponsored. So I was actually able to take a lot of the people on that second trip to the hospital. I had more of a budget to give back to them. So the more leverage, the more viral that I can make this, the more sustained it can be and the more people that I can impact.
For sure. What age are you at the moment?
I'm 26.
You're 26. And
been a shock. I basically woke up and this video had started going viral.
You've dabbled in this and it's becoming your life at the moment. Obviously, you still need to make a living. So I presume that some of the money you raise from sponsorship would be used to fund yourself.
For sure. I'll get it to fund the trips, but I won't be taking anything. I won't be taking anything for myself. Okay. I can still perform magic. I can still perform magic. I've done quite well in my past. So I'm figuring out a way in order to support myself. But the biggest thing is, how can I support more trips? All I want to do is I want to make more beautiful content, to travel to more places and to make a bigger impact and to do bigger things. So the next thing on my list is to go to Africa And I'd love to start looking into building some schools in Africa. But I really want to turn this into a movement. This has now became evident that this is my purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, magic was, again, it now feels like a stepping stone to this. This is something which is much more fulfilling, much more meaningful for me, and much more impactful for the world.
Yeah.
And
it's a lovely
base
to kind of approach people and say, by the way, I also do magic. And you're very good at it, obviously, because you're performing for all these stars. A nice picture of you here with Messi. You're going to continue on that path, obviously. How will you keep the two of them going at the same time?
I don't know if I can. That's the honest truth. I don't think I can. I think this is already surpassed. I'm going to try because to see if I can work, because magic is also a passion. But truthfully, this is I'm in this wave and I want to continue to ride this wave. And this is much more meaningful and fulfilling for me. And it's much more impactful. Like, really, what do you want to leave behind after this? Magic is a moment. I'm limited with my magic that I can only perform to so many people. Whereas with this, I can reach millions. I can inspire millions. I can touch millions. And with this movement.
Will we see you in Ireland soon? Will we see you performing here?
Yes. So I'm actually coming back to Ireland in 4 weeks. And
right.
I cannot wait. Going straight to the North Coast, Portrush, jumping in the ocean.
Lovely, yeah.
Soaking up that cold North Atlantic. And getting that fresh, clean air in. I cannot wait to get back to Ireland. Maybe I'll do a couple of local gigs. But really, I've been away for so long. So much has happened. I'm going to take a lot of time by myself in the nature there to reflect.
Good
and
idea.
To plan for what I want to do next. Ireland is a great place where all of a sudden time seems to stop and you have a lot of time for yourself.
Come here, I must ask you, what's the reaction of your family to all of this? Who would have preferred you behind the counter in a butcher shop instead you're gallivanting around
the
world?
They love it. My mum's constantly in a high, and there's nothing that brings a smile to my face more than reporting back to her with what's happening. So she loves it. My dad loves it, although he might not understand it that well. Social media is a bit of a blur to him.
Video Lee is your name online on Instagram. 1.8 million followers currently. Don't mind the begrudgers, Lee.
No, they're fuel to my fire, trust me.
Yeah,
they're fuel to the fire.
Absolutely. You're a force for good. That's the main thing. Listen, thanks so much, Lee Hutchison, for chatting to us, and we'll see you again.
Yes, maybe see you in studio once I'm back.
Absolutely.
I'll hit you guys up.
Safe travels. Bye-bye.
All the best. Bye-bye.
51551 is our text.
Email oliver@rte.ie.